There is a new term that is being used today, over the last several years, actually. It's not really a new term. It's an old term used in a new way, and it's the term influencer. Now, some of you are looking at me like you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, and I know that means you're not on the internet. Because in this age of social media, there are people who have immense power because of their position on social media, and they are called influencers. Now, many of them are entertainers, some are musicians, some are politicians, and they rate influencers by how many followers they have. In a minute, I'll explain more about that. Some influencers are just ordinary people like you and me who have figured out how to con everybody else. Now, influencers are ranked by how many followers they have on social platforms like Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter or some other social media platform. Don't think, because I know those names, that I know anything about them. I don't. In fact, I don't even have accounts on any of them except Facebook. That's as far as I got. Facebook is for the older generation now, just in case you don't know that. If you only have a Facebook account, you are old like dirt. To be really up to date, you need to have a TikTok account. I have no clue what that is. How many of you think that the number one influencer on the internet, and by the way, this person has over 500 million followers. That's half a billion. How many of you think it's somebody from Hollywood? Raise your, no, you don't think it's someone. How many of you think it's a politician? One or two. How many of you think it's a musician? How many of you are not going to vote no matter what I say? That's what I thought. You're a tough crowd. Man, I am the Rodney Dangerfield of pastors, I'll tell you that. Amen. I get no respect. The number one influencer in the world with over 507 million followers is an athlete. Now, I'll tell you his name, and most of you won't know because he's not an American. His name is Cristiano Ronaldo. He is a professional soccer player. Well, we say soccer, they say football, okay? We haven't got a clue. The rest of the world calls soccer football, and then they say American football. He's a professional soccer player. He now plays in Italy. He had played for Real Madrid. He's probably, here I'm going to get myself in some trouble, the second best soccer player in the world. There is one better by all standards. When we go down to Haiti, and I hate bringing Haiti up all the time, when we go to Haiti, they love their football. And you are either a Barcelona fan or you are a Real Madrid fan. And you either love Messier, who's the number one player in the world, or you love Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, somehow Cristiano Ronaldo is the number one influencer in the world. Of the top 50 influencers, and again, they track this by how many followers they have, about half of them are musicians, people like Justin Bieber. Again, I only know the name. I can't even tell you a song he sings. Does he sing? Is that what he does? Sings? Okay. I have to look at the young people over here to find out what I'm talking about. Selena Gomez. Taylor Swift makes, we all know Taylor Swift because she's from our county. She makes the top five or six influencers on social media. Now, here's what's interesting. Advertising firms have figured this out. And they know that these influencers have millions of followers, who are very, very loyal. And if they can get one of these influencers either to talk about their product or on their site have that product pop up somewhere, they can make a lot of money. I went to Forbes magazine. Forbes is not, Forbes is a really, I mean, that's a financial magazine. This is not some offbeat magazine somewhere. Here's what they said, an article called, "Are Social Media Influencers Worth the Investment?" Good question for a financial magazine. Here's what they said. Their followers are typically very loyal, and that's why influencers have changed the game for marketing teams. Influencers serve as trusted voices for consumers and have built lifestyles online that many people want to mimic. Brands can tap into that. They went on to say, they gave an example of just how financially powerful these influencers are. Listen to this. I hope I pronounce her name right. You young people shake your head one way or the other. Bella Delphine. Is that how you pronounce it? Bella Delphine is a 19-year-old influencer with a following. Now, it doesn't rank up there with the highest, but she has over 200,000 followers. She is so influential. Now, I'm going to read this, and some of you are going to laugh. Everybody who laughs will be over 50. Over 40. She is so influential to the point, quote, where water from her bathtub is considered merchandise. Her problem was not being able to supply enough for the demand. He's real old. That's how loyal influencers' followers are. People are buying her bottled bathwater. Hey, don't laugh. I would do it if I thought I could get you to buy my bathwater. I mean, what an easy gig is that? Now, some of you in the older generation find that amusing. You had your influencers in your generation. They were just called something different. Back in the day, all the girls wanted to buy the dresses that Marilyn Monroe wore. All the guys wanted to drink the beer that Elvis Presley drank. We all had people in the greater culture that we wanted to mimic. I was probably only 5 or 6 years old, but my brother, who is a number of years older than I am, and there were three of us guys who shared a bedroom and had our own bathroom, and he was standing there by the hour trying to make his hair look like Elvis Presley. That's an influencer. The article pointed out that social media influencers are much like the celebrities of past generations. Every generation has had their influencers. And that is going to be true until the end of time. In our study of the end times, we are looking at the key players, those individuals who will be the last and the final influencers. And today, I'm still not getting... There we go, thank you. For some reason, and the batteries are good, we're getting a green light. Christian, would you change these batteries? Let's try that. Take this thing and put new batteries in it for me. We are looking at one of the great influencers called the false prophet. Now, the term false prophet is used throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And especially in the Old Testament, it describes someone who speaks prophecies that never come true. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are warned about these prophecies. All the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, God warned Israel to watch out for false prophets. Next slide. Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says this, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. You don't know how tempted I am to take off right now on modern-day television preachers who have made all kinds of prophecies that have never come true. They are false prophets. In the New Testament, Jesus warned us. Next slide. Matthew 24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but the fact that someone can do signs and wonders does not mean that they are the real article. Next slide. Matthew 7, 24. Christ said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And there is one person who will appear in the tribulation period who fits that description, and that is the false prophet. Together with Satan and the Antichrist. This morning we sang about the Holy Trinity in one of our songs. Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet in the end time will make up an unholy Trinity. Now, of those three evil influencers, less is said in the Bible about the false prophet than about the other two. But it tells us enough. Look in Revelation chapter 13, where we find the most detailed description of the false prophet, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Remember in the first part of this chapter, from verse 1 to verse 10, he talked about the first beast. That is the Antichrist. Then he says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Pastor Jim, would you go in the office and tell Christian to look in Carol's office on the cabinet on the left, and he will find what he's looking for. He's been gone a long time. He's either eating cookies back there or he can't find the batteries. It's time to send out the rescue party. Verse 12, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now this morning, we're going to ask four questions about the false prophet. Where will he come from? What is he like? What will he do? And what will happen to him? So let's begin. Where will he come from? The first verse that we read in Revelation 13, verse 11, says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Well, Bible scholars have made several different suggestions. Does it work? Sort of. Okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. Where will he come from? I'm working. Very good. Thank you. There are three possibilities that have been suggested. The first is that he will come from the abyss. The abyss is where some of Satan's followers, those who followed Satan in his rebellion against God, some have been assigned to the abyss. Another possibility under the abyss, whether he comes out of the abyss, is that he would be a man controlled by demons from the abyss. The second possibility is that this is a metaphor that describes his character. When it says that he came up out of the earth, he would be just like those who are in the abyss. And a third possibility is that just refers to humanity. He came up out of the earth referring to all men, all the general population. He comes up as a man from among humanity. He is not an otherworldly being, in other words. Now, we don't know exactly what the Bible means when it says he will come up out of the earth, but it is without question that he is a man who will be controlled by Satan, and we'll see that in our study this morning. The second question we want to ask is, what is he like? This passage, I think, gives us a number of clues that give us a glimpse into his character. And the first one is, he will not be who he appears to be. Verse 11 says, he has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Now, we don't put those two animals together unless the dragon is eating the lamb. But many Bible scholars believe that when God put those two characters together, they believe that when the false prophet appears on the scene, he will come in the gentleness and the meekness of a lamb, disguising his true character of a dragon. And if he came on the scene ripping and roaring and screaming, he's going to frighten people. But if he comes on the scene gentle and mild and a nice guy, people will accept him before they realize who he really is. Some Bible scholars have even suggested the imagery of a lamb indicates he will come on the scene as a religious person, perhaps even passing himself off as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But his real identity, who he really is better exemplified as a dragon. He will be a terrifying and dangerous person. He will not be who he first appears to be. Secondly, he will have unquestioned authority. In verse 12 especially, it says, and you can ignore the reference up on the screen. That was from last week. I forgot to wipe out the reference on a couple of these, it looks like. So ignore that, Revelation 13, 1 through 3, and instead put down Revelation 13 and verse 12. He exercises all of the authority of the first beast. And then in verse 16, he gives us an example. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The authority with which the false prophet is going to operate will be delegated to him by the first beast, by the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, as we learned last week, gets his authority from Satan. So both the Antichrist and the false prophet are operating under the authority of Satan himself. And the authority of the false prophet, as we see especially in verses 16 and 17, is an absolute authority. He will operate with undisputed authority. So much so that he will require everyone, and I find it interesting in those verses that they distinguish all the social, economic levels of society, the rich and the poor, the slave and the free, etc. Everyone in society, no matter where they fall on the economic scale or on the social scale, will be marked in some way. Now, people have discussed this for centuries, What is the mark of the beast? Is it 666 tattooed across your forehead? We really don't know. And it's really not worth getting into an argument over. In some way, people will be identified as falling under the authority of the false prophet. It might be a microchip in their hand. It might be some type of a tattoo. It might be some technology that we are not even aware of yet today. We don't know how it will be done, but we do know how it will be used. Without the mark of the Antichrist, no one will be able to engage in commerce. No one will be able to buy or sell. It will be a way to control people and to exercise his authority. This individual at the end of time will have unquestioned authority. We have yet to see in our world someone with that type of authority. All we saw in the Second World War with Hitler in Germany, but not worldwide. We have yet to see someone with such authority that around the world they can tell people what they must do.